Coming today on Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast.
It's easy to forget the negatives of why a relationship broke up sometimes. And, you know, you start talking to that person again, and then lo and behold, it seems like, oh, why did we ever break up?
Welcome to Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast with Rebecca Zung and Susan Guthrie.
This is the place to hear other people's stories, to learn from the top experts in every related field, to also have some fun, laugh, and hang with two divorce attorney girlfriends who are also top family law litigators.
Breaking Free Mediation is proud to be the very first family law mediation centers in the country to offer a mindfulness track. Breaking Free Mediation, helping you resolve family law matters peacefully. Learn more at www.breakingfreemediation.com.
Also, make sure to download your free calming meditation from renowned meditation and energy expert Scott Picard at www.breakingfreefromdivorce.com/free meditation.
And now we invite you to listen to today's show.
It's going to inspire you to transform and break free. Welcome to today's podcast. Today's episode focuses on something that we are all actually very familiar with now, and that is social media. We call it Till Facebook Do Us Part. I'm Rebecca Zung.
And I'm Susan Guthrie. You know, so I think the issue of social media and its role in the demise of marriages and relationships really isn't that new. I was actually doing some research to get ready for the episode. And, you know, back in 2014, there was a study that was done that found that Facebook usage was associated with a growing divorce rate during the periods between 2008 to 2010. But if you think about that, that's really almost 10 years ago. And social media has only exploded in our personal lives and our business lives in that 10-year period. So, you know, now that we're almost in 2020, I think that with more outlets than just Facebook, we've got Instagram, Snapchat, VSCO. You know, there's a lot of instances where social media plays a role in our life, and that has led many people to look to how the social, our obsession with social media impacts our relationships. So
I'll say, in addition to what you just said, I was going to add that I wrote an article for a local paper in Florida in 2000. I'm looking at the date. It's July 3rd, 2014. So that's now 5 years ago that I wrote this article. Hard to believe. But at the time that I wrote it, there had been a recent study from the American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers. And at that time, this is 5 years ago, 81% of divorce lawyers reported that their clients cite social media as part of the demise of their marriage, like that it was involved in some way. So the 81%, that's a staggering number. And that was 5 years ago. And there's probably a lot more people on social media now.
Right. Well, and more social media outlets, like we were just saying. So
right.
I think it may be a little simplistic to say that the social media causes the marriages to break down. But maybe, you know, the fact that we're on there and it amplifies our lives in this very public way, maybe it's a way that, you know, the problems in a relationship or marriage can get amplified. And then there are a lot of different ways, you know, that we're going to go through today where we have seen social media at least come into play in the breakdown of the marriage or during the divorce. There's a lot. I mean, I think people will be surprised at how many different ways social media can impact a divorce these days.
Yeah. And just to add to what you just said, when I wrote this article in 2014, I cited an ABC News poll that said 33% of divorce filings at that time contained the word Facebook, actually contained the word, a third of them. So I think you're 100% right. I think it's obviously doesn't cause the problem, but it certainly can amplify, as you said. You know, what happens is people get on there, they start looking up their old boyfriends, their old girlfriends, and then they start to get into a conversation with each other. And, you know, if you weren't all that happy in your marriage to begin with, now all of a sudden, I actually had this happen. I had a guy who, the couple was in their 70s. They had been married forever. He reconnects with his college flame. Then she actually had to go away to help her mother move into an assisted living facility. And then she ended up with breast cancer. And so she was dealing with that. And so while she was dealing with all of these things with her mother and her own health, he was, you know, rekindling his flame with his old college sweetheart. He ended up moving to, I don't know, Phoenix or Santa Fe or something like that to be with this person, causing the divorce. We went through the whole entire divorce, like actually got them divorced. And then the new old college flame dumped him, of course.
Just like she did back in college.
Yep. And what do you know? He ends up back on the doorstep of the now former wife, who said, yeah, no.
The grass was not greener in your past.
I'm done with you.
Yeah, that's interesting, though, because I have seen that much more often. You know, a lot of people think that people find new flames, like a new love interest on the internet. And that may be true with, you know, Tinder and Bustle and Match and all of those, you know, outlets, which is not what we're talking about here today. I don't consider those social media, but definitely, I think the trend that I have seen from the get-go when Facebook, I would say it's Facebook. I think everything that we said when we opened this episode kept mentioning Facebook. And I think it was really Facebook that, you know, kind of drove this, is because it's your way of reconnecting with family, friends, your past, and you keep meeting people and seeing people. It happens to me all the time. I still get friend requests from people I went to high school with or people I went to college with, and you reconnect. But there's something about that, like hooking up with an old flame when you're in an unhappy relationship. And I don't know, maybe there's, you know, you said your client was in their 70s. Maybe there's that, you know, feeling of going back to your youth and you know, this person who knew you then, because that's definitely the trend I've seen, that people not so much are hooking up with new people, but they end up going back with someone from years and years ago.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously, we're not psychologists, but I know that there's something around when you meet somebody, wherever you left off emotionally with that person, that's where you pick right back up. And so whatever those feelings were, they're right back as if they were, it was yesterday. I mean, and that's why we always have such fun with our high school friends or whatever. And you can pick right back up where you were and laughing and all of that. But same thing happens with romantic relationships. So if you were in love with that person, that feeling might be rekindled and stoked when you reconnect with that person.
Yeah, someone once described it to me as the highway of love. So you driving along on the highway of love and you get off at an exit because the relationship ends. But when you get back on the highway with that person, you're getting on at the same exit you got off at. So it's not like you're going back to the starting line.
Oh, that's a really good way of putting it. But, you know, I think that applies to any relationship.
True. Well, actually, I heard someone use the same analogy describing addiction. So, you know, where you get on the road to addiction and it progresses and gets worse. And if you get off and you give up your drug of choice for a period of time, but then come back to using, you get back on the addiction highway at the same point. So maybe there's something to that as well, that there's, you know, something about rekindling an old relationship that kicks off those endorphins, brings back the glory days, brings back, you know, the feelings that you had that motivated you. It's easy to forget the negatives of why a relationship broke up sometimes. And, you know, you start talking to that person again, and then lo and behold, it seems like, oh, why did we ever break up? I had that in one of the cases where someone went back with an old flame, where they're like, oh, we don't even know why we ever broke up. We can't remember. We never had a fight. And, you know, I'm sure there was something. I don't know where they ended up these days, but that was.
Yeah, I actually saw one where I had a client who I helped her with her divorce, and then she rekindled with her old flame after the divorce. It wasn't anything that contributed to the divorce, but rekindled her old flame, got remarried, or got married to him for the first time, but remarried for herself, had a child with the guy, and then he turned out to be a total psycho and ended up, you know, divorcing now the second guy. So you never know.
Yeah, you never do. And, you know, I think that's one of probably the biggest way that I've seen social media impact relationships. But another way that I think is increasingly on the rise is that our obsession, I'm going to call it, with social media, with the, you know, those connections in our phone, suck up our time, and we spend less time with those around us. My husband and I were out yesterday having lunch in a restaurant, and I looked around at one point, and more than half the people in the restaurant had their phones out with their faces down, looking at their phones. And this was several tables where every single person at the table had their phone out. And I don't know if they were on social media or answering their emails or what they were doing, but here were people at a nice place on a beautiful day to have a lovely brunch on a holiday day, and they were all immersed in their phone. And you see that more and more, where people, it could be the social media access, it could be that people are working 24/7 because their email's right there and they can do that. But you have to wonder if that disengagement is harming relationships as well.
Oh, that's a very good point, too. I mean, one of the other things I was thinking of as far as how it impacts a divorce is, well, you don't need a private investigator as much anymore. You know, you can actually just go on people's social media and see what it is that they're doing. You know, a lot of times they don't post it, but somebody else does. And now all of a sudden they're showing up in somebody else's pictures. And you just have no idea who's posting what where.
Oh, I mean, our lives live out through social media, whether you're tagged or not. And you know, I had that one case. I think I've mentioned it in other episodes where my client, you know, I think every divorce attorney out there has for years, at the time that they take a client on or they're retained, has told the client, get off social media while you're going through the divorce. Do not use it. Do not post. Do not allow posting. But my client at that time, he shut down all of his, you know, Facebook and everything accounts. He took down old stuff, but his girlfriend was posting stuff, and the girlfriend was friends with the daughter, and the daughter was friends with the mother. And so, you know, we went off to court to find pictures of the two of them on vacation in luxury hotels and on yachts around the world and all of these things. And it was not very helpful to his case, I will say. So it's like someone said to you and I, Rebecca, right? The screenshot lives forever. So if it's out there on social media at some point, if they, you know, it's so easy to investigate someone by investigating the social media around them.
Yeah. And I should add that there's now a spoliation of evidence, prohibition in pretty much everywhere. So you're not going to be allowed to take down things, you know, especially once the case gets going. You're going to have whatever's up there, you're going to have to leave up there. So that's going to be a problem, too. And it's not just for cheating. It's also, you know, if you think somebody is drinking when they shouldn't be, or doing drugs if they shouldn't be. And here's a picture of them with a big bottle of Jack Daniels on the table in front of them. And what's that about?
Yeah. I actually had that case where one of the parents allegedly had a drinking problem. So they both agreed to put language in the parenting plan that neither parent would imbibe alcoholic beverages within a certain number of hours of having their parenting time. And that's exactly what happened. That parent went to a party. Pictures got posted of them at the party within a few hours of coming to pick up the kids. And they had cocktails in their hands. Actually, I think they had a bottle of wine in their hands or something like that. And it caused, wreaked havoc. It was one of those few cases where it's easy to prove somebody actually violated the no alcoholic beverages clause,
in an agreement.
Wasn't
mine.
Yes, I was just holding the bottle of wine up to my mouth for photo purposes.
Yeah, it wasn't mine.
It didn't help that it wasn't a glass of wine. It was a bottle of wine either.
Yes.
Yeah. No, it didn't help that case. So
no.
Coming up, more from Rebecca and Susan on Till Facebook Do We Part. The impact of social media on divorce.
Especially if you see somebody posting like, oh, to my beautiful wife who is the most perfect soul and she's the most wonderful mother and everything about her is fantastic. And then, somebody reads that and goes, hey, you schmuck, how come you're not like that? How come you're not appreciating me in that way? But you guys
on social media.
Well, yeah, but the thing is that people don't know what happens behind closed doors. Somebody could write that and, they had a massive, huge drag down fight the night before.
We're going to take a quick break now to talk about our newest sponsor, Hello Divorce. Divorce is hard enough on its own. You're thrown into the legal system. You have no idea what you're doing. Hello Divorce understands that. And they offer an affordable, convenient online option for Californians. Easy form preparation, instant access to legal information, loads of articles, affordable, convenient, and low-stress divorce.
One of the things I love the most about Hello Divorce is the sheer number of options that it gives you. When you sign up for your free account, you get access to their curated library of tools and resources, and you also get a 15-minute free personalized divorce strategy session. They have a do-it-yourself option for divorce, but they also have an option that gives you your own legal document assistant who will handle your entire divorce start to finish for you. You can even hire the a la carte services of an attorney just to make sure you're on track. Without having to pay an expensive retainer, you can purchase increments of time in as little as 30 minutes. So find out more at hellodivorce.com and be sure to let them know you heard about it at Breaking Free, a Modern Divorce podcast.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can hear Rebecca and Susan discuss more topics on divorce in depth, including our two-part series, Loving an Addict or an Alcoholic, How to Help Them and Yourself, with expert Stephen Wolt.
What ended up happening over several years, I developed a very severe drug addiction and internet pornography addiction that almost killed me. As a result of those addictions, they got progressive and worse. And, I started going on these drug benders that would last 2, 3, 4 days. I would disappear in hotel rooms and I would resurface several days later where business colleagues and family and friends were, deathly worried about my well-being. And it got really, really scary and really ugly.
And now we return to today's show.
That's the sort of thing that, I think that comes up more and more. And Rebecca's point's a very good one for people to understand. It is not that it's things you're posting. It's really anywhere you go these days there. If people you know are there, your spouse likely knows them as well. One of the big complaints I hear from people all the time is, I can't believe they're still friends with him on Facebook when we're friends still. But people don't take sides all that often, or their spouse is still friends with your spouse. And, when you have the friends who can see what you've posted, they're going to find it. And a lot of people, as we know, when they're going through a divorce, people can become very shouldn't use the word obsessed, but I'll use the word, you know, they become very centered on finding evidence of things, and they will spend hours scouring the internet, scouring, you know, Facebook or Instagram or all of those things. So
it becomes
you never
a tool
know.
For stalking.
Yeah, it really, I mean, it spying and stalking, definitely. So you see that. But you also see, you know, things where, you know, people have really become addicted to their social media. So I was talking to someone this morning who recently has started using social media for business. And she said, you know, I feel like I'm getting addicted to it. I wake up every morning. The first thing I do is grab my phone and see if people liked my Instagram posts and, you know, what their people are doing on that. And I think, you know, I was reading some articles about this. There's even treatment centers in Korea right now that are solely centered on helping people deal with social media addiction. And, you know, it's being identified, I think, in mental health circles as a true addiction. So, you know, as we know from our recent episode with Stephen Walt, our special two-part episode on addiction, that may sound funny to people. Oh, it's, you know, how bad can it be? But any addiction, if you listen to that episode, is truly a life-altering and downward spiral experience, not just for the person going through it, but the family members around it. So if somebody's involved with their social media at that level, at an addiction level, this can add another layer of dealing with addiction. You know, Rebecca's 3 A's, the deadly 3 A's of marriage.
The deadly, three deadly sins, abuse, addiction, adultery.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure it's not a physiological addiction like what most people think of, but it would certainly be a psychological addiction. And you know, probably partially because you can create that you're this person with a perfect life or whatever. I mean, how many pictures do we see of people, you know, of themselves with, you know, their perfect latte and their perfect cafe and with the perfect hair and the perfect friends. And, you know, it probably makes other people feel worse, which can also, you know, if you don't have a good mental state or you don't have good self-esteem, that also can contribute to a downfall of a marriage.
Oh, I think that's a very good point, because that is something no one ever posts the tough stuff on their social media, on their Facebook page. Everybody's always posting the picture of them, you know, looking good, face tuned or photoshopped away, and happy moments and exciting things they're doing. And for a relationship, you know, as we talked about at the beginning, maybe not the cause of the downfall of a relationship, but for a relationship that's already under stress, that, you know, looking at other people's social media and thinking, wow, the grass is greener over there, you know, that they're so much happier, look how great their relationship is, that whole hashtag relationship goals, you know.
Well,
let's
yeah,
just talk
and
about hashtags here.
If you see somebody posting like, oh, to my beautiful wife who is the, you know, the most perfect soul, and she's the most wonderful mother, and everything about her is fantastic, and then, you know, somebody reads that and goes, hey, you schmuck, how come you're not like that? You know, how come you're not appreciating me in that way? But you guys
on social media.
Well, yeah, but the thing is that people don't know what happens behind closed doors. Somebody could write that and, you know, they had a massive, huge drag down fight the night before where, you know, he called her a loser or something. I mean, you just never know.
Well, I think the real point is social media is not real. Social media is what people choose to put out there, and no one chooses to put out their, you know, difficult or the darker side of things. Some people do. It depends. But for most people, when they're looking online, especially when they're unhappy, they're going to see what they want to see. And, you know, they can find validation in their thoughts. Oh, my relationship's not good because look at how great everybody else's relationship is, or how happy they all are. And so I think it can maybe exacerbate an already existing problem. You know, I always call it the Kardashian syndrome, you know, that everything's also wonderful.
I was reading a quote that I wrote in this article from 5 years ago, and I said, laying the responsibility of the demise on marriage on social media amounts to blaming one's weight gain on the silverware.
That damn fork. It's all the fork's problem. Fault. If I just start eating with my hands, I'll lose weight, right?
That's right.
But, you know, there was one thing I thought of while we were prepping for this was that there are actually, you know, some positives to social media or some ways that social media can be an assist during divorce that we've seen. You know, we do know of support groups that have been established on Facebook, communities that can have a positive effect for people. Our friends at Worthy.com have created a wonderful community for women on their Facebook page where people can share. And I was on a podcast a while ago, Relationships with Rob, and Robin Cho has a very popular Facebook group for men going through divorce, specifically, I think, dads. So, and those are a place for people who are going through a difficult time to come together and share and, you know, get information and just maybe just receive support. I've seen on the Worthy site, you know, women just saying, I'm just having a really bad day today and could use, you know, use some girlfriend power or whatever that might be. So there might be some positives to it, to social media at a time of divorce, because it does at least give people access that they might not have, you know, just readily available to them. I mean, it's very easy to pick up your phone and go look for that support.
Yeah, I mean, in addition to that, there could be education out there. I mean, people find, you know, Facebook Lives or something like that, where a particular, maybe a divorce coach or an attorney or somebody is doing videos. I know both of us have done some videos and things like that on YouTube, which is another form of social media. And so, you know, there can be definitely a benefit to it if you can help allay your own fears or find people who are in like situations and you can connect with each other in that way.
Yeah, I think the flip side of it, though, might be because I know I have gone on some of those support groups or been involved in them and sometimes shuddered at the advice that people will give other people in those forums because it is either legally incorrect or, you know, factually incorrect. So I think there's a problem that you don't know in those forums who you're getting your advice from.
That is so true. And as divorce attorneys, I know we've mentioned before on this show, but it probably is worth repeating again. And that is, you know, I've had people say to me, you know, I have a friend who had a friend who was a paralegal in Maine, and they wanted to know why I'm not getting alimony. And, you know, as an attorney, I feel like going, well, I think you better go hire the paralegal in Maine.
Who knows so much about divorce law here in Florida. Yeah. No, well, and that's the, you know, you have to realize, and this happens, I think, when people talk to anyone about their divorce, family, friends. We did this in our episode, or we talked about this in our episode, X's and Steps, and about, you know, third parties who can get involved in your divorce. This is really another form of third parties having an influence on your divorce, because you have to remember in those forums or anywhere where you're talking to people about divorce, or about what's going on in your life, whatever advice they're giving you, unless they're a professional, is colored by their experience. So if they are on and they had a horrible divorce and you are asking something about a parent, you know, parenting plan or something, their answer to you or their advice to you or their guidance to you is very likely to be tinged by their negative experience.
Well, and especially if it's family who are on social media, I mean, they can kind of like egg it on if they really didn't like your spouse. And now it makes it difficult for you if you want to try to resolve your case. Because people will be like, oh, you gave in to that. Why did you do that? And how come he's not paying for this? Or how come she's not doing that? And, you know, the bottom line is all these people don't know the law. They don't know what's fair under the law. And getting involved like that can actually be toxic because now it's going to cost them way more money in attorney's fees than it maybe should have.
Yeah. Well, and that actually makes me think of another potential issue of using social media during divorce is that it people can air their dirty laundry in that forum. And you have to remember, you know, I see people posting things about what an ass their ex is. And can you believe this jerk did that? And he did this or she did that. Hey, you know what? This is a public forum. It lives forever. As we said earlier, you know, a screenshot will never go away. Your kids are on social media. Your families are on social media. Your friends are on social media. The world is on social media. This stuff does not go away. And there is something to be said for having a certain level of privacy when your family is going through such a difficult experience and, you know, reformation, that airing, you know, you in a moment of anger or spite or hurt or whatever's going on, as we've talked about ad nauseum in all of our episodes, you are driven by your negative emotions during divorce. You go on there and spew something out about your ex or about something that has happened. Be prepared for that to live with you forever and live with your family and your children forever.
Yes, as I like to say, every writing is a potential trial exhibit.
Yeah.
So if you don't want the judge to see it, then don't write it.
Don't post it. Don't take a picture of it.
Yeah. No. And, you know, I will also add to that. I mean, it's not always easy to control your family. But if you're going to end up in front of a judge on a custody issue, and, you know, especially like a relocation issue or something like that, where you're trying to show what a supportive family you have, they are going to be looking at what your family has posted on social media, too. And even if it's private or whatever, there's always ways for people to figure out what you wrote. And so if your brother or your mom or somebody wrote something awful about your spouse, that's actually going to hurt you.
Yeah. I mean, I always tell clients, you have to explain to your family that they are not supporting you by doing things like that. They're actually potentially harming you and harming your case. And they need to understand that because it's very true. I have seen it over and over again where, you know, one of the factors that a judge is going to look at, say in the relocation case that Rebecca just mentioned, is which parent is going to foster the relationship with the children and the other parent. And when you're saying, oh, I have this wonderful supportive family, they're here to help, I want to live closer to them so they can be supportive, and then they've written all these terrible things about your ex, it doesn't play well in a courtroom.
No.
And you end up taking the blame for it or bearing the brunt of it because they're your family.
Right. So, I mean, like the bottom line is with all of this is to just be really, really careful. I mean, even if you're not preparing for a divorce case, you still want to be really, really careful about anything that you post because it does live forever. And then just be careful about living too much in social media and not in real life.
Yeah, I mean, it sort of comes down to if you think social media is causing a problem in your marriage, that should tell you something, and it might be time to cut back.
Exactly. Thank you for joining us today on Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast. I'm Rebecca Zung.
And I'm Susan Guthrie. Breaking Free Mediation is proud to be the very first family law mediation centers in the country to offer a mindfulness track. Breaking Free Mediation, helping you resolve your family law matter peacefully. Learn more at www.breakingfreemediation.com.
Also, make sure to download your free calming meditation from renowned meditation and energy expert, Scott Picard, at www.breakingfreefromdivorce.com/free meditation.
Check back next Monday for our next edition of our powerful, inspirational, and educational podcast. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, please remember to give us a 5-star rating and let us know what you liked in a review on iTunes.
And remember, you're just one step away from your new life.